Greetings, this is James Gillen on the As You Wish Talk Radio, the BBS network, and we've got another great show. We've got a few breaking news elements that we want to get out before we start. You know, there's, if you haven't heard, there's been a major uprising in Iran, and looks like there's over 10,000 indictments coming out. We said before when it hits 11,000, the mass arrests would start, and it looks like they have. They've got planes flying to Gitmo. And there's an executive order, you know, putting the military in charge, you know, so basically, you know, they're the highest courts in the land. So no shady lawyers are going to bail these guys out, you know, the cabal out when they try to run. I guess they're freezing their assets and a lot of that's going to go back into the treasury. And I don't think we're going to have a debt by the time they're done with this one. But the Federal Reserve, too, is toast. You know, the Treasury's taken over with the whole new currency coming out backed by gold. So you're going to have some people call it the rainbow currency. There's all these other things coming out. And, you know, things we've talked about since 1982 are now manifesting. You know, it's actually in print. We've actually written about these things coming up in the future. So, you know, it's time to take the red pill if you haven't already. And because the world of opposites is here, you know, so almost everything, all the agencies we thought were working on our behalf are actually working on the behalf of special interests, and they're doing exactly opposite of what their mandate is for. So we're going to cover a little bit of that today. So we've got Dane Wigginton on the show tonight, and he has a background in solar energy. He's a former employee of Bechtel Power Corp and was a licensed contractor in California and Arizona. He has been engaged in constant climate geoengineering research for the past 15 years. His personal residence was featured in a cover article of the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He owns Wildlife Preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. And he puts all of his focus, energy, and efforts into reaching the climate engineering issue, which, you know, he began to lose a very significant amounts of his solar uptake due to ever-increasing solar obscuration caused from the jet aircraft spraying in the skies above his mountaintop home. He also noted a significant decline in forest health and was occurring and appeared to be accelerating. Extensive testing research in the geoengineering issue was recommended and has continued since 2002. He's a lead researcher for geoengineeringwatch.org, and he's invested all levels of the geoengineering projects, from stratospheric aerosol engineering, SAG, to solar radiation management, SRM, to ionosphere heater facilities like HARP. He's also appeared in numerous films and radio interviews in an effort to educate the public on the extreme dire environmental and health dangers we face from the ongoing global climate intervention program. So, without any further ado, we're going to bring Dane on the show. Dane, are you with us?
Hear you loud and clear, James.
Great. Welcome to the show. First of all, I want to thank you for the work that you've been doing on exposing these geoengineering. Some people, we called them chemtrails before, but geoengineering is the proper name for it if you want to really do the research. And the work you're doing, I think, is paramount. It's first and foremost in what we need to address here, despite everything else, because, you know, if your environment collapses and your health goes down the toilet, nothing else really matters. So I don't know where you want to start out with this, but I've got one question. I wanted to kind of start at the top, basically, and we can go from there. I'm really curious where things are at right now in both exposing the geoengineering program and as far as any efforts to litigate and put it into it.
First, if I can back up to affirm what you stated about biosphere collapse being the bottom line, and that's what we desperately need people to realize so that they prioritize this issue. If we don't deal with this issue, as you correctly stated, nothing else will matter. Also, as you correctly stated, semantics do matter. In order to gain credibility and thus traction in this battle, if we stick to the science terms, we can't be marginalized. And the chemtrails term has been the buzzword term for official agencies and media to instantly marginalize this issue. They can't do that if we use the terms climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management. So semantics matter. We're playing chess. We need to play well. As far as where we're at right now, the climate engineering apparatus globally is completely out of control. And this is where we have a power structure. As the biosphere implosion accelerates, they do the only thing that they know how to do, double down, to do more. So the more damage that's done from climate engineering, the more they feel they have to ramp up the scope and scale of these programs, just as the pharmaceutical industry does, correct? James, you've seen the example I often use. If you see, take this new pharmaceutical for this particular symptom, and here's 20 other side effects that are exponentially worse, which you have to take even more pharmaceuticals for. That's the same mentality. In regard to our litigation, we have legal action still in process in Canada. We recently filed, we have a team of attorneys in the US as well, and we had no response from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, to our Freedom of Information Act requests. They're legally required to give us the data we requested. So we filed a lawsuit against the Department of Commerce, which is the overseeing agency for NOAA. That's in process now. Ultimately, though, it's important for your listeners to understand all of our legal actions are directed toward the primary goal of exposing this issue. So just because legal action is ongoing doesn't mean we don't need help from every single listener to share credible data on this issue, because we must reach a critical mass of awareness. That's the great imperative, and we must reach it soon because time is not on our side. Biosphere collapse is unimaginably close. And when people, when I say that, people tend to think centuries or maybe decades. We're there. It's happening right now. And I would argue we don't have perhaps more than, I hate to give time frames because that's just always a precarious step, but I would argue in the next weeks and months, it will become apparent that our planet's life support systems are disintegrating. We're that close.
Yeah, I agree. I know California, you know, we're watching, you know, definitely a geoengineering program going on there, which created the droughts, which, you know, gave rise to the fire. And it actually does look like, you know, dew weapons, you know, direct energy weapons or directed energy weapons were used as well. And, you know, it fits into that Agenda 21. There's so many aspects to this, and it's really sad. I'm wondering if Trump has actually said anything about this, if he's dealt with it on any level. I know he's pulling out of the climate change and the other stuff, you know, because it's, you know, global warming's a myth. Actually, it's starting to cool down. But climate change is definitely a reality.
If I could back up a little bit.
I'm wondering if you're... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wanted to back up before we lost those points.
Yeah.
On the narrative that the fires in California, that the directed energy weapon narrative, although the technology exists to ignite those fires from an airborne platform, the narrative that the incinerations themselves actually came from that powerful of an airborne platform is not a known technology. There's, although we have high-powered laser apparatus, that's on a ground-based platform, and there is no known technology from an airborne platform that could cause that scope and scale of damage. Although they could have ignited the fires, so could have any arsonist that was paid by the power structure. I'm not saying those events, the fires, were natural in any sense. I did a full expose on climate engineering that set the stage for those cataclysms to occur, and there's no arguing that fact. We have hard data to back that up. Again, in regard to where the frequency of the fire's ignition and the diversity of locations where the ignitions occurred, very suspect. Some of the buildings were non-combustible with not much fuel around them, also suspect. But if you saw some of the narratives that claim there should be no standing trees in such fires or near such fires, there's never been a forest fire in the history of forest fires where there wasn't standing trees everywhere. When a tree is green, especially a redwood, and that's a prevalent tree in the Northern California fires, you can't burn redwood down if it's a green redwood. I mean, they're extremely fire resilient. And your listeners can look this up. I don't want them to believe anything I say. So there was portions of some of those narratives that were not factually based. And I encourage your listeners, if they search geoengineeringwatch.org, search the California fires, they can look at hard data. Certainly those fires were not natural, but the notion that there was an immediate incineration or disintegration from an airborne directed energy weapon, there's no data to support that. In regard to the state of the planet, I, if with all due respect, I need to interject this. so that we stand on credible ground. We must consider any and all forms of human activity a form of geoengineering. The atmosphere doesn't know the difference between a particle from a smokestack or one from the back of an aircraft. All of it harms the energy balance of the planet. So we can't say that all our problems are just geoengineering. We need to unite the tribes, and that includes the environmental groups who are so far amazingly hypocritical on this issue by their willful omission of this in their equation, because you can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate unless you include this issue. In regard to the state of the planet, we have just passed the 392nd consecutive month of above normal temperatures. Everywhere we monitor, we're seeing a radical underreporting of high temperatures, not an overreporting, an underreporting. So this is what's important to understand, that there are countless causes of damage to the planet. I think, James, we would agree the human race has been poor stewards of the planet. Would we agree on that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was looking at all the raw data versus the adjusted data and looking at a lot of that, and it nothing was adding up. So I can go by my own thing. We did have a glacier on Mount Adams. I'd look up at this glacier for years. I've been there 31 years. And the glacier's gone. It's gone. But what's interesting is it's back. Is now it's back. So something's. I agree. We've had global warming, intense global warming, up to a certain point. But now I think we're going into the solar minimum. But we're also going into a highly energized place in space we've never been before, which might counteract that. So who knows? You know, you can't really get any real data that you can rely on from NASA or these other guys. You don't know what's true or what's not true, you know. So
I would agree with that. I mean, certainly we can't rely on the data from these official agencies, which are part of the power structure. But what I would argue we can rely on is when we see film footage of the front lines. And there's a film, Chasing Ice, that's a very exceptional documentary. I would encourage your listeners, they can watch that online for, I think, $3. Incredibly powerful documentary. They don't need to believe anybody. They can look with their own eyes. And the fact of the matter is that ice deposits around the globe, regardless of what may have happened in your particular area, where there may be some additional chemically nucleated precipitation falling and creating a regeneration of whatever ice was in that particular location, ice deposits around the globe are disintegrating. And what we see the official agencies doing is underreporting the severity of what's happening, not overreporting, but underreporting. And it's important to relate this into climate engineering, because that's one of the primary goals of climate engineering, and it's happening right now. This massive cool down in the eastern half or two-thirds of the country, I'm not sure where your location is, James, but you're seeing that unfold, correct?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what we're seeing. I live in Trout Lake, Washington, which is right at the base of Mount Adams in Washington State. We're up on a higher elevation.
Okay, and, you're right. We're not in the cool down zone then. We're not in the cool down zone. I for some reason thought you're further east. Have you seen the chain of theatrically named, quote, winter storms that are occurring on the East Coast right now? Have you seen that?
Yeah, definitely. And I've also seen too, there's an interesting phenomenon happening. I started checking this out. A lot of the small towns that are giving weather the temperature readings and things like that have been adjusted up to 10, 15 degrees. It's unbelievable. And the big cities are pretty accurate as far as their weather. But I was thinking about this. So I started talking to other people in small towns, and I said, you know, they're fudging the data here. They're changing.
You're saying that they're putting they're raising the temperature readings? Because we're seeing the exact opposite of that. We're seeing everywhere we check, we see the readings are underreported.
Yeah, they're using. They're. It's both. It's one way or the other. It's really weird. But mainly it's underrated. But I've seen that on a very big scale now. And so, you know, they're not going to get a lot of flack from small towns. But if they do it in a major city, they're going to get some heat for it. And I think that's part of the game that they're playing.
Let me summarize, if I can. What's important for your listeners to understand is that these cool down events where they're able to create some record cold temperatures, this is a completely engineered scenario done with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Anybody who wants to assist in the anti-geoengineering effort, the effort to expose and stop climate engineering, must recognize these engineered cool downs for what they are, completely unnatural. And this is creates by chemical ice nucleation elements being dispersed over atmospheric moisture, creates a cold, dense layer of air that descends to the surface. And that creates the illusion of ferocious cold on a planet that's descending into total meltdown. So I would encourage your listeners to look at, and we've posted this at geoengineeringwatch.org, the global departure from normal temperature maps. There's only one section of blue, which is below normal temperatures on the entire planet. It's in the most populated areas of the U.S. Why? Because that's where the climate engineers are focusing their effort to create this holiday season cool down, all the media hype they want to continue the confusion and division in regard to the true state of the climate. So what we hear from pilots, and we communicate with commercial and private pilots, and the private pilots fly Gulfstream, the private jets. They're seeing only far above normal temperature anomalies at altitude, far warmer than normal. That's all they see, with no exceptions. So again, you can't, as I stated earlier, you can't have a legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first. And you can't have a legitimate discussion about climate engineering without first and foremost including chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, which in essence is an engineered cool down, engineered winter.
Yeah, I saw the snow in places where they bagged the snow up and then they lit it on fire. I thought that was pretty bizarre. I mean, what kind of snow burns, you know, if it's not?
That's methane. If you're looking at that where they clear the ice out, that's methane. That's another subject. Now, the chemical ice nucleated material that's falling on us tends to sublimate, which means it reverts from a solid to a gas and largely bypasses the liquid phase. So you don't get a lot of runoff off of it. And it certainly behaves in very anomalous ways. But when you see the flames shooting out of a lake bed where they've cleared the ice and methane gas is escaping, that's what causes that flame. But that's a hugely important issue that you brought up, that methane is thawing and releasing all over the globe. It's part of one of the many feedback loops that are going on. Climate engineering, in the attempt to hide that, is making it worse, not better. No surprise.
I have a question for you. You know, they've been heavily doing the geoengineering or chemtrail, whatever, you know, I just say chemtrail because I look up and I see a giant chemtrail going over, but I know it's geoengineering. But the in our area, they're hitting us really hard. It's unbelievable. And I tell people, they go, you know, I've talked to people and they get that glassy look over their eyes and they go, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, oh, you're one of those conspiracy people and things like that. And I go, look up. I said, look up. And wherever there's water on the roads, when you drive through it after they've been doing that, it turns into suds. There's all this white suds, you know, that come up from when you drive through the water, you know, after they've been doing some heavy spraying. I'm curious, what's making the suds? You know,
your observations are correct. It's from surfactants. And surfactants are, it's actually an element that you see in soaps as well. It affects the water molecules, and that's part of this mix. So you may have seen, James, in some recent videos, massive foam events on seashores where the foam is 10 feet thick.
Exactly.
It's the same process. These are surfactants. They're part of the mix. They're used to keep the particulates from coagulating together and the spray dispersions. So when we see heavy aerosol operations going on over the oceans, and then we see these massive foam events on seashores, it's all part and parcel of what you just mentioned. It's a part of the mix. It is not natural. And what we see from power structure controlled propaganda entities like the Weather Channel, Weather Central, Climate Corp, in this case of Weather Channel, they're owned by Bain Capital, Blackstone, Climate Corp owned by the Rothschilds. We have Weather Central is Rothschilds, Climate Corp is Monsanto. Let me correct that. But they have to control the message in order to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. So what we see on the Weather Channel, in fact, I saw this yesterday, and I watch many forms of media just to keep my finger on the disseminations, if you will. We see them going to great length, making it up as they go, literally lying to try to explain away what's happening with events. So they spent much of yesterday trying to explain away how it could be frozen precipitation on the ground, ice storms, when the temperatures were far above freezing at altitudes of 500 to 1,000 feet above that. So this is chemical ice nucleation, and some of that material is reaching the ground before it actually sets up. And for your listeners, again, to give a simple example of endothermic reacting chemical ice nucleating elements, James, you've seen in a first aid kit, you have an ice pack in there that can sit on a shelf at room temperature for 20 years, and you mix those chemicals together, you have ice, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's an example, but this is done on a scale that is difficult to comprehend. They're also chemically ice nucleating the polar regions, and that's where they started climate engineering. So we can see on satellite imagery massive areas of sea surface being chemically ice nucleated to try to create a frozen slush on the surface, which they are calling sea ice. It's not sea ice. It's a chemically nucleated slush. But they're trying to, again, statistically hide the fact that the polar regions are imploding. And why is that so important? In the case of the Arctic, there are massive methane deposits on the sea floor. As the ice disappears, the ice reflected 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. Now the ocean absorbs 90%, warms the ocean, warms the seafloor, methane starts to release, migrates through the water column into the atmosphere. When it reaches the surface, methane is covering the planet right now like a layer of glass. And again, in the attempt to hide that fact, in the attempt to confuse and divide the population with climate engineered events like what's happening on the East Coast right now, they are actually fueling the overall meltdown, trapping more heat than they deflect. So again, every aspect of climate engineering is doing immense damage. And this is the gravity of this issue cannot be overstated. Cannot be overstated.
I heard one guy who was given a prophecy. He said that there's going to be a time where the atmosphere is going to be ignited. And I see how that could happen. Definitely, with things happening. But I like to stick to more of the ground facts. But there's several things. Now I believe there was a scientist on this one show, and he took, I think it was barium and aluminum together, mixed them together in a glass, and that froze the glass to the table. I mean, it was unbelievable, the reaction that happened there. And, and we look at what they're using there. They're using, obviously barium, aluminum, strontium, the fly ash, all these things that they're using. And Carnicom's research says there's actually human red blood cells and all kinds of other bioengineering going on. But what are some of the health effects that people are experiencing from the geoengineering program?
If I could back up for a minute, the lab test you saw was barium and ammonium.
Ammonium, okay. I wasn't sure if it was aluminum. Yeah.
It was ammonium. And your listeners can look at that lab test. We have that posted at geoengineeringwatch.org. There are also biological nucleating agents that have the same effect. If your listeners haven't seen this, it's very shocking that several drops of these elements can be added into a vessel of liquid water. It freezes it instantly in front of their eyes. This is a primary tool of the climate engineers. And we had entities like Fox News and Popular Science covering this. Your listeners can look up Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorms, and they'll see that this was openly announced at one point, although now the media is suppressing any data on this for obvious reasons. The public is not happy, just as in China when it was openly announced that they did $1 billion worth of damage in Beijing from chemically nucleating what should have been rain into snow, heavy, wet, dense, concrete-like snow that did immense damage. Of course, the population's not happy, not to mention what they're breathing. And in these materials, I've been in the field with a full crew of habitat restoration people that were helping us restore habitat in our land during one of these nucleating events. In the course of 15 minutes, six of us got nosebleeds, six.
Wow.
And we're standing there looking at each other with our noses all gushing blood. What was in that mix? And unless you know exactly what you're looking for, it's hard to find. But back, this is leading into the health effects that you asked me about. No matter what a person chooses to believe is going on over their heads, lack of belief in an issue that is factually verifiable won't exempt you from the effects of that issue. This is real. We have the lab tests to prove it. We have 70 lab tests in Northern California alone. There is an immense amount of toxic heavy metals raining down on us, starting with aluminum, barium, strontium, lead, manganese. We are all inhaling these metals. They're building up in our systems. So any way you slice it, this issue is not only destroying the biosphere, it's decimating our personal health, reducing our cognitive function, our ability to think. If we don't deal with this issue, we won't be able to deal with anything else soon. So we're back to this issue being a fight for life and the need to prioritize this issue. And we can get to, when you're ready, James, how people can help us to bring this issue to light.
Yeah, if it keeps going, I think we're not even going to know our names or where we parked our car, you know. So it's getting to be that bad. I know that I feel it immediately when right after they start spraying. I get the muscle and joint pain, and a lot of times you get the upper respiratory problems, which go down into gastrointestinal problems as well. And you know, I always tell people, if you don't believe it's going on, how's your health been lately? You know, look at the skies. Where'd the blue skies go? How, you know, look at your health. Look at your environment. How many trees have died on your property? You know, aluminum blocks the uptake of nutrients to a tree. We've lost, we have trees that are 200 years old on our property and they died. I mean, why would they live for 200 years and then just die, you know, for no reason? But
let me elaborate on that, because you're exactly right. I want to back you up on what you just stated.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. We have peer-reviewed study to prove that bioavailable aluminum, as it loads the soils, and it is loading the soils because it's in the rain, it can't not load the soils, is changing soil pH, and the tree root systems, or root systems in general, sense this toxin and, as you said, exactly right, shut down nutrient uptake and die a slow, protracted death. We have the also destroyed ozone layer. It's being decimated by climate engineering. Now, that's not to say that other forms of human activity are not harming the ozone layer as well. They are. But climate engineering mathematically is the single greatest factor. So that's frying the trees from the top down. We have an incendiary dust that's coating the trees, you know, back to the fires. That's another aspect of climate engineering. So from every direction, geoengineering is unraveling the entire web of life in the planet's life support systems.
Yeah, we had fires in our area up in Oregon. We live right on the border of Oregon and Washington. And I was watching these fires igniting, and I was talking to the firefighters who were working with it, and they've said they've never seen fires ignite like this and move so fast and burn so hot. And some, you know, a couple died, I guess, trying to get away from this stuff because it was moving so fast. And, you know, obviously, I mean, these are seasoned people in the field, you know, and they've fought a lot of fires. And I took photographs of, I should send those to you, of the fires, the whole mountain on fire with massive spraying going on right on top of it. It was just the heaviest spraying I think I've ever seen right on top of the fire.
We've seen that as well. And the smoke from the fires often provides cover for even heavier aerosol operations. And there's no question about this. We have very hard building block facts that we can prove that connect climate engineering to the incredible acceleration of fires around the globe and the frequency of fires, the intensity of fires. So again, the bottom line, from countless directions, climate engineering is sucking the noose around our collective necks. And as those forests burn down, all that carbon enters the atmosphere. And I would encourage your listeners just to stop and consider, why is this planet, or has this planet been life-sustaining? How does it hold the heat in? It's because of a blanket of greenhouse gases. When you thicken that blanket, you disrupt the energy balance. So as climate engineering, although they're able to lower some daytime temperatures with solar radiation management, which is the light scattering particles, that's for your listeners to understand, that's one of the primary stated objectives of climate engineering, to fill the sky with light scattering particles to deflect some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation, without considering the consequences of doing that. So they trap more heat than they deflect, they destroy the ozone layer, they disrupt the hydrological cycle, they fuel forests burn down around the globe, all that carbon then enters the atmosphere, thickening up the blanket even further of greenhouse gases. We have the methane issue we discussed. It causes countless chain reactions of downstream negative consequences. And what does the military-industrial complex do, as I stated in the beginning of this program? They just do more.
Double down, That's, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now this is kind of, you probably don't want to go there because you want to stick to the research, but My belief is that there's so much inhumanity on the planet going on is because there's non-human entities behind it on the highest level. I don't know if you probably don't want to go there, but it, to me, when I look at what's being done, the severity of everything, you know, from poisoning the water to the food to the, there just seems to be this mass plan to, you know, pretty much, it's like a war on creation itself. And to me, it's not human. I mean, humans usually won't do this unless, you know, they've been influenced by something else. But I just wonder, there's so much inhumanity going on, and it's so sick and so ridiculous what's happening. There's got to be some other force, you know, behind this. I know you probably want to keep more to the research, but it just seems like that's where it's going.
Let's examine that question. I'm a lay student of cosmology, and it's an unimaginably, incomprehensibly large universe. I really can't imagine that we're alone here. But that being said, we see nothing happening that we can't directly connect to humans behaving poorly. And I would agree with you, they're not wired like those of us who care. They're not. Yeah. But I know people personally that I believe could conduct any of these operations. And if we look at the human atrocities that we could not begin to even touch the list of atrocities that are well known, and we can track all of this to humans behaving poorly to just follow orders. If we look at the Milman experiments, in which people would actually harm others if they felt they were being told to do so by someone that they believed was an authority. Mm-hmm. They turned off their own sense of morality, their own sense of reason, and just followed orders. And we have a society full of order followers, and we have so-called leaders, those at the top of the tier, that are clinically insane. And
oh, yeah.
When you put this combination together, you end up in a very dark place. So I would argue, although I would be surprised if we're alone in the universe, because its immensity is beyond our comprehension, we can trace the actions we see happening to humans that are not so, are not wired in a way like those of us who care and who would never engage in such activities. So we have a very diverse demeanor amongst our population, that's for sure. Again, to reiterate on that fact, the behavior of those in power has gone increasingly off the rails because we have a population that has been pacified with material possessions and has not shown any sense of responsibility to rein in the poor behavior of those in power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what's interesting. I just lost you for about a minute there. Luckily, we're back, but I've been kind of following what you're saying. I thought it's interesting that all of a sudden as soon as I raised that question, bam, my connection just was lost, you know, and I'm on a hotspot too here, you know, hooked up to my phone. So that's kind of odd that, and that happens all the time when you start really getting into the nitty gritty stuff. But, you know, it is agreeable. My theory, I have a different theory that I know people will do whatever they're told to do. And if you pay them enough money and give them a badge or a title, they'll do that. But I also say whoever's giving them those orders, when you track it up to the top, it just does seem it goes into something like pure evil. And it's just my take on it, because the things that are being done, you know, when you really do the research into all the satanic worship stuff and the pedophile and all the other stuff, that just, it goes somewhere that's so dark that...
I wouldn't argue that. I'm not arguing that at all with you. I agree with you. And you can't use a word other than evil. That's what it is. And those...
Yeah.
Psychologically speaking, this is straight from the manual on psychoanalysis, that mm-hmm. those in power that have various forms of psychosis, the common thread is a near total lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. And that's what we see happening, because we hear that question, James, I'm sure you heard it many times. Why would they, quote they, those at the top, those who control the central bankers, why would they do this to themselves? And we have how many examples of them doing this to themselves, from nuclear detonations that have contaminated the entire planet, over 2,000 of them. We have Fukushima, that may be an extinction event by itself if other factors don't take us out first, which I would argue is going to be the case. And we're building more nuke plants right now in spite of that. We have countless examples of completely what can only be described as insane behavior from those at the top, and a population all too willing to go along.
Yeah, I agree. I think people are starting to wake up now finally and stand up. But the I just it blows me away. I was talking to this friend of mine, and I was doing all the research and everything and looking, you know, at what's being done on every level to the planet and to the people and everything. And I asked that question. I said, you know, how can people actually do this, you know, knowing it's going to affect their family, the next generations and everything. And especially when you get into the really evil stuff, I just can't even wrap my head around doing anything harmful to a child, you know, and things like that. And this friend of mine said something, and he said, you haven't hung out with very many psychopaths, have you? And I said, well, I've run across a couple, but I kind of got it when he said that. I said, you know, you can't apply logic to these people. You can't project your values and morals on these people, or even logic. They operate from a whole different realm, and it's evil, and it's pure psychopath and path, whatever path is. I don't know if that's a word, but I've never seen anything like it. But I do feel there is a higher order, whatever you want to call it, you know, creator, God, spirit, unified field, whatever energy you want to say, that I think eventually they're going to have to deal with. And karma does work, you know, action, reaction does work. But hopefully we won't all be a part of their karma, and we'll wake up and put an end to it.
Well, I would agree. The consequences are inevitable. And when we see the anomalous climate situations that are occurring right now, in fact, we have temperatures today and tomorrow that will likely be colder in Florida than Alaska. Now, again, yeah, that's a surface layer of cold air. You don't have to go very high to get out of that cold air. Cold air is heavy. It descends. We've, outside, while chemical ice nucleating events are going on, we've conducted observations in the field. And I live in a remote location. And when you hear nothing but aircraft over the top of the cloud formations, and you feel what it's like, a refrigerator door was open after they've been nucleating these materials, and you can feel this cold, dense layer of air dropping. And this is where we're getting the weather whiplash. James, you've seen these weather whiplash scenarios happening all over the country. I mean, literally, we literally have scenarios that we have documented going from 100 degree all-time record high on one day and snowing the next day. Happened in Amarillo, Texas. It was May 1st, 2013. 100 degree all-time high, snowed the next day. Now, that is absolutely impossible meteorologically with any natural scenario. It can only be occurred with chemical ice nucleation. Again, it creates a cold, dense layer in the ground, and that creates a perception of winter. So it's important for your listeners to understand the radical and increasingly worse weather whiplash scenarios are a direct result of climate engineering, and the massive cool down that's occurring in the East Coast right now is very much a psychological operation. Because for those who want to believe, because they don't like Al Gore, nor do I, that there's nothing wrong with the planet or the climate system, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I would encourage your listeners to look at, on the last, my last weekly broadcast at geoengineeringwatch.org, there's a global departure from normal temperature map posted under that post on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. They can look at that map and they'll see, again, as I stated earlier, the only blue below normal spot on the planet is these current chemical cool down zones. So it's important to look at the bigger picture. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know for me, I spend a lot of times outdoors, and we have a 70-acre ranch, and I'm sure you do too. But and I really go by my observations in nature and seeing what's happening, you know, in my area. And you know, I think that's what everybody really needs to do. Get out of your cubicles, you know, get out of your office, you know, and get out in nature and take a look around and look at the sky and watch it go from blue to gray. But I notice exactly what you're saying. It'll be raining. It'll be warm. When it rains, it warms up. You know, when you have the clear sky, it gets really cold. What happens is it'll be raining, and I said, oh good, it's warming up. And the next thing you know it, you're just like chilled to the bone, and you're going, what is this? You know, where, this is not normal. And your spidey senses go off too, and you go, something's wrong. Something's really wrong here. How can we have this kind of warmer air come in and this rain? And the next thing you know, it's just chilled to the bone. And I'm seeing exactly what you're saying happens up there on a regular basis. And you know, if you factor in the crop damage that this is doing, again, you know, it does seem like the bigger plan is to create, you know, a lot of people leaving the earth either through starvation or through, you know, through pollution, through poisoning, through whatever, you know, whatever, not even having an air conditioner or proper heat, you know, through these shifts and changes can be a factor. But, you know, I really feel sorry for the homeless people. You know, what are they going to do? You know, where are they going to go when these things, and that might be part of the plan.
I would argue it is. Those in power know that the planet cannot support the population that's here. Cannot. And for those, I've heard many argue, and this is not to side with those in power at all. If we need to reduce populations, those who have created this scenario should be the first to walk the plank. But when I hear people refer to populations that there's not a population issue because everyone could fit in the state of Texas and still have elbow room, that's not the bottom line factor. It's a matter of resources. We have stripped the planet in the geologic blink of an eye. And it's important for us to realize and understand that this scenario of industrialized, militarized society was never sustainable. And we're about to find out the hard way at blinding speed just how unsustainable it was. And when we look at statistics, we've lost 60% of Earth's wildlife populations in the last 40 years. 60%. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect every single day to extinction. Every day, up to 300 species. And then I'll hear the argument at times from people who say, well, that's normal. Species have always come and gone. That figure is 1.5 million% of normal, 15,000 times the background rate. So we're there. The sixth great mass extinction is not coming. It's not on the horizon. It's here now. And we're not just beginning down that road. We are far into that curve. And I would argue we are so perilously close to hitting the wall that we don't have much time. The single greatest thing we could do to take a leap in the right direction would be to expose and halt climate engineering. Not that we don't have countless other issues, but if we could expose this issue and populations around the globe knew that they had been a part of a grand and lethal experiment from which there is no return without their knowledge or consent, I would argue we could galvanize populations around the globe in a common cause, and we need to do that. And the most effective way to share this issue is not by oral dissertation, not by just verbally communicating. Pass on credible data to people. And we have tried to make the most hard-hitting data available at geoengineeringwatch.org. People can use our files for creating individual flyers or booklets. They can download our files for free and print them locally if they wish, or they can get those materials from us at our approximate cost. And we print in massive quantities in order to try to, it was a great effort on our part to try to get these materials out, but it was too expensive for people to print small orders individually where they were at. So we've printed in massive quantities and tried to make those materials available, our flyers, our booklets. It's all on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. And there's links there that they can share with others as well that have very boiled down, factually verifiable data. So what I'm saying is a picture's worth 1,000 words. The images we have, the data we have, is so condensed that it's very effective at waking people up to the issue. And we need to do this effectively and efficiently because we don't have much time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I got some photos I'd love to send you with the fires and the geoengineering, the spraying right over the fires, but I'm sure you've got, you're probably overloaded with pictures. You know, it's better to get this other information out. You know, it's again, I totally agree with you. I think this is probably the first and foremost issue on the planet that we have to address. And I've seen you go, you know, and address this with senators and congressmen or things like that. And, you know, they just, oh yeah, put it on my desk. You know, it's like they wouldn't comment on it. They wouldn't touch it. And I know some of them just freak out when you bring up the issue. They said, don't even talk to me about that. They're so afraid. There's a major fear factor there. Have you had any luck with any politicians or any other people?
Only for a short duration until they get the word from up the ladder to leave this issue alone. And we've had a lot of that, not just with elected officials, but with well-known personalities. Chuck Norris, for example, I think he did his best. I heard from Chuck and his wife. They did two articles, endorsed geoengineeringwatch.org. He acknowledged the issue. His pastor came to Reading to meet with me. A very sincere man, as is Chuck and his wife. But I believe they were warned because they were going to continue in this battle, and they immediately went off the radar after doing two articles, completely off the radar. I've had the same thing happen with university academicians that were communicating with us on this issue. I know in one case, a double PhD from Duke University, I'll state where she was from. The last message I got from her that she had been taken into a room for the second time and warned, if you continue to talk about geoengineering, there'll be consequences. That's the last I've heard from her. So they are trying to put this fire out. It's up to us to force this issue to light. We have a federal gag order right now, James, by the way, so your listeners understand how much effort is being put into covering this up. We have a federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. So it's up to us to get the word out.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier, is the agencies. You know, you really look, you know, the Department of Defense is really a Department of Offense. You know, you look at the Department of Justice is the Justice Department. You know, it's like, you know, all these things are the opposite, you know, of their mandate. And I don't even know what the EPA is about. And as you know, I wrote letters to the Sierra Club and all these other major people that are supposed to be environmentalists. They won't even touch it. They won't even talk about it. And they come to you with their handout and they want you to donate. And I said, you know, as soon as you address the chemtrail or the geoengineering issue, I'll donate like this. And they go, well, we need this. I go, no, address that and then I'll make a donation and take that back to your superiors, you know. I said, as soon as you do, I'll make a donation like this. And I said, I'm not giving a dime until, I think that's what people need to do, is say, look, until you address this issue, you're not fulfilling your mandate, and you know, hit them in the pocketbook or something.
I would completely agree with you. That's exactly the right approach. When they come rattling their tin cup and refuse to address and claiming to be environmentalists, and yet refusing to address the single greatest environmental threat of all, short of nuclear cataclysm, that's total hypocrisy. So these groups need to be held accountable. And the reason they won't address this issue is because they're trying to protect their 501c3 nonprofit. And how much will that matter? How much will that nonprofit status matter on a planet that's dead, literally?
Yeah.
So your approach is exactly right. And I encourage people to use their resources to gather credible data on this issue and share it. And they'll find the very condensed data with NASA images that are inarguably, you don't need to know anything about meteorology to look at those images and know something is radically wrong. These images have to be seen to be really comprehended.
Yeah.
You share data like that with people, along with copies of the documents, all included in this data, CITA documents, gag order, patents. That wakes people up much more than pointing at the sky and ranting. So share credible data and you'll have very effective results. And again, time is not on our side. We need to make every single day count. We need to bring the situation to exponential increase in awareness immediately.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, I watch these things. They're all over the YouTube internet. You know, these Bitcoin guys, you know, and they're, yeah, I'm a Bitcoin billionaire now, and they've got their Ferraris and everything else. And I said, you know, why don't you contribute to, you know, your thing there, you know, why don't you contribute to getting this information out, you know, clean up the planet and everything else. I mean, you're kind of a rogue anyway. That's how you got your masses of wealth. And now you've become the very people you've always demonstrated against or been against. But, you know, I see that all the time. There's this little voice in me going, these guys need to wake up, smell the coffee and get educated, because you know, they're all of a sudden they're millionaires, some billionaires, and it's ridiculous. Why not use that money in a positive manner? You know, I mean, you are all, you know, against the system. Usually, you know, you know, when you made all these investments and everything else, let's not forget that. You know, let's you know, take earmark some of those funds to get this get this thing straightened out, you know, get the planet straightened out, because, you know, pretty soon you're going to be trading your Porsche and your Ferrari for a loaf of bread if we keep going, you know, down the same road.
You're exactly right. And we're actually there. I mean, the problems we face, the challenges we face are literally kicking the door in right now. The U.S. is importing about $20 billion worth of food from abroad, from countries that are starving to death, to keep our shelves stocked, to keep the American population pacified until the last possible moment, to keep them oblivious to what's unfolding around them. So we are there. And I can tell you in Northern California, and even driving down I-5, the food corridor where we have all the orchards and the agriculture, dying. Things are dying everywhere. Trees are dying everywhere. They're yanking whole orchards out. How long does anyone think this can continue? They're trying to shade the citrus orchards. Since when do you have to shade citrus? Because the ozone layer is absolutely decimated. Citrus orchards shaded as far as the eye can see. Who thinks this could continue? It cannot continue. There's no production. We can't even grow a garden in Northern California where we once had a thriving vegetable garden with no effort. We literally can't grow or produce anything now.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing up there. We had thriving gardens and everything else, and I just put this huge garden in, and I did everything to it. I put a giant truckload and three big trailer fulls of manure on it, and I got the soil perfect and all ready to go. And I'm going, nothing's growing. Like, what the heck? I've never seen anything like it. And I know it's either the, you know, the aluminum and the barium or something is killing the ground there, because all the other factors, it's got plenty of water, it's got all the nutrients, it's got everything it needs to go. And they're just either burning up or they're just not growing. So
it's all the above. It's all the above. You have, again, soil pH values being changed. You have soil microbes being literally eliminated from this biotoxins that are in the precipitation, and you have unimaginably intense UV radiation. It's highly destructive to plants. And we have UV, not just UVA and UVB, we have UVC now. That's the last spectrum of UV before X-ray. I don't think that needs much explanation. People can understand how detrimental that is. Also, we have photosynthesis stops at 104 degrees. It tapers down to that point and stops at 104. We just had the longest, hottest summer in California ever recorded. So again, you have all of these factors combining, and the web of life is unraveling, as I've stated. And I would encourage your listeners to not turn away from this issue, as many people do when they hear unpleasant news, but rather to understand that solace can be found in facing an issue head on. And I would remind your listeners of this. This is straight from the textbook on psychoanalysis also. The hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth no matter how dire. That's a healthy mind. To do otherwise is not a healthy psychological perspective. To turn away from the truth, not healthy. So consider that. Arm yourself with credible data. Help us to sound the alarm. Ask others to do the same.
Yeah, we have like an epidemic of cognitive dissonance right now. And I don't think that's going to break until it, you know, I always tell people, a lot of people aren't going to do anything until it affects them personally. And that is right down the road here, not too far down the road. There's no way of denying what's going down, and we're all going to feel it personally. And you know, with my gardens alone up there, I gave up on this one upper garden. The only things that are growing are the things that are sheltered, that have trees around them and things like that. We are getting, you know, not the yield we used to get, but they are still getting it. So obviously, it's whatever's coming from the sky or whatever, you know, UVs or rays or whatever's hitting it is doing this. And I think, you know, we're actually going to start going to greenhouses and things like that to help do this, you know, and a lot of mushroom based stuff. But, you know, everybody can't do that. You know, we don't have the luxury of doing that. And as you're saying, there's so many people on the planet, we have to have open farming on a major scale, you know, hopefully organic, but you know, that whole system's collapsing as well. But you know, there's no getting around it. We're gonna have to do something quickly.
We are through the guardrail. This is important for people to understand, that there's no going back. The planet we have known is not going to return in any time frame that matters. That being said, could we still salvage some of Earth's life support systems? Perhaps, but only if people consider their part in this immense challenge we find ourselves immersed in, that each of us has a part to play. Each of us matters. Each of us can help tilt the scale in the right direction. We have to remember and consider that every single day. The reality we thought would happen or that we hoped would happen is not going to happen. But if we can still, again, salvage part of the web of life, don't we owe that to our children? Don't we owe that to the web of life? The answer is obviously yes. It's not an option to engage in this fight. It's an obligation for all of us. Simply encouraging people, again, they can get more activist instructions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. They can share links for the activist materials that are good just to forward by itself, just the links even from their own home computer. Won't cost them a cent to do that. And in whatever strategic way they feel they can help, we need everyone to help carry this torch forward.
And again, what's the best way to contact you to get all that information and to be a part of exposing this and putting it into this geoengineering nightmare?
There's a contact link on the top of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. We're the largest site in the world on this subject, non-political, no advertising. So they can reach us there. But again, they'll see all the activist instructions links on the left of the homepage. We are a data repository. There's lots of information there that they can share with others that will help to wake them up. So we're asking everybody to help us again to move this fight forward.
I agree. You know, too, I always felt one of the things is, well, if they stop the geoengineering, we're all going to burn up and die. And the bottom line is the Earth takes care of herself. I mean, that you're going to have more moisture. If it overheats, you get more moisture, you get more volcanic activity, and she'll shield herself if you leave her alone.
Our best, I just want to reiterate what you said. Okay. You're exactly right. We need the planet to be able to respond on its own. That's our best chance. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We've just got basically 1 minute left. So if there's any closing statements you want to do, this is the time.
Just simply encourage people to get a basic understanding of this issue and then to share credible data. And that's the most effective, because to engage in a long conversation that might cover facts that someone might not be familiar with, to pass on that credible data that people can see with their own eyes, is exponentially more effective. So we need to each learn how to be efficient at waking those up around us and asking them to do the same.
I agree. And by all means, you know, grab them by the neck, take them outside and say, look up,
Also, as you're passing on credible data.
Yeah, tell them that's not normal. Figure it out, you know. Anyway, Dane, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And, you know, the work you're doing is so important right now. Whatever we can do, if you ever have any updates or information you want to get out, just let us know and keep up the great work.
We need voices like yours to help us get that research out. So my gratitude back to you guys, too. And we'll keep sounding the alarm from this end. Count on that.
Awesome. We're out of time, folks, unfortunately. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. Watch the skies. Get active. Take care of your planet. You know, if you don't take her hair, if you don't take care of her, she's not going to take care of you. Anyway, have a good evening. Good night.